I genuinely wonder if the mics are picking up, like, just the loudest cricket ever in existence right now.
I had the same thought.
Hey there! I'm Ian! I want to make some noise.
The worst part about that cricket is...
It's been in the house
for days.
Is it in the house?
It's in the house.
Oh my god, I thought it was just outside the window or something.
No, it's in the... It lives here.
It would be... It needs to pay rent then.
Yeah, there's
the give me money.
There's the cricket and then the shiniest, darkest, fattest cockroach.
And they are having a gang war. That's why the cricket's not rubbing its legs together. It's snapping as it's going down the street doing a Sharks and Jets style.
Its chirps is a threat.
And welcome to Who Is My Doctor After Dark here on WMDW.
Oh, yeah.
How are you today, my guest host, Cassandra?
Guest host?
Sorry,
I'm
my other host.
Guest host.
Other host, Cassandra.
I'm here every fucking week.
My special co-host.
Thank you.
Also my host.
I need you to understand, Zach, this... podcast comes out at like 5 a.m. every
Tuesday.
It does
come out at 5 a.m. So really, usually they're before dark. This is the first time we're recording super late at night. Like it's almost midnight right now when we're recording. I shouldn't say super late, but you know.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure.
Right before we started recording, my brain cooked up a thing.
Oh, yeah? And did I just step all over it?
No. I can still do it.
Okay.
Doctor! Woo!
Boo! Boo.
Every Tuesday, you'll be listening to Doctor Who. Me and Zach are talking about Doctor Who. Yeah.
Today, we're watching Series 7, Episode 7, The Bells of St. John.
The bells, 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 bells.
Bells of St. John. I don't know if that picked up on the mic properly at all.
That's fine. People, they're not missing anything.
We're a little goofy this late at night. What might you be expecting from the Bells of St. John, Cassie?
I want it so bad to be the Bells of Notre Dame.
Just this whole episode, Matt Smith has a hunch.
Oh, my God. No, I'm just imagining this whole episode, Matt Smith is the Phoebus. Which is only even worse because did you know that Phoebus is like 40 and Esmeralda is supposed to be 16?
Esmeralda is supposed to be 16 in that movie?
According to a TikTok I saw, yes.
That is inaccurate. That's one of the, like, well, where do they learn how to draw women from? Anime? Yeah.
Well, because I went like, okay, 16-year-old Esmeralda makes... It doesn't make sense.
You don't have hips like that at 16.
She could be 18. But considering, like, I always did imagine her being younger because Quasimodo is also younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see her being in her, like, early 20s.
But, yeah. Allegedly. I don't have any proof for this. I did not.
Yeah, they never say it in the movie.
I never decided to go down this rabbit hole.
Well, I wonder if that's what it is in the book. I wonder if, like, in the original book, they're 16 and they're just attributing it to it, as opposed to, you know, in the same way that Pocahontas was technically, like, 14, but she's definitely not 14 in the movie. She's, like, clearly 23, if not older.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this episode features our first time seeing the modern-day Clara Oswald. We have seen her in the future as a Dalek. We've seen her in the past as a bar maiden and governess. And now we get to see the companion that will follow through with us for the rest of the season here, Clara Oswald.
Okay.
Do you think that she'll be similar, different?
Similar
to her other companion?
I think so.
Okay. Because they've portrayed her as very, like, flirty both times.
Well, because my thing is, in Dalek form, she was still very, like, smarmy, I suppose would be the word.
Very cheeky.
Very cheeky. That's one of my favorites. very cheeky, very witty.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a governess, she's very witty and very clever and smart.
Mm-hmm.
It would be astonishing to me if in two different iterations, she's one where she's very similar. And then in the third iteration,
she's just wildly
she's
different.
Just absolutely unbearable, horrible person
she's
to be around.
She's a big dummy.
She's a full-on bimbo, yes.
Hi, doctor.
Oh, but my God. It's smallerly outside.
But, like, Doctor Who, right?
She's just turns into Lola. Could you pause? Could you imagine not Lola, but Nick Kroll as a doctor companion?
Oh, so you're talking about so you mean Lola from Big Mouth?
Yes.
Oh my God, doctor! Can we please go around a little bit and take a look at some of the sights? I want to touch all the things.
Doctor, do you have some like Takis? I'm like so hungry.
All I want right now is a quesadilla.
There you go.
I have no idea if that's appropriate to that character at all. I
hope. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I imagine that Clara is still going to be clever,
okay,
and smart and okay, flirty and just. It's something because you have said that she is your favorite companion.
Yes.
And she is a clever, smart, witty brunette, a little dorky, but still cute. Can't yeah. imagine why you would like.
Can't imagine why I would like her either.
Can't imagine. we'll get to the bottom of this.
Maybe we can find out together after we do the Cassie Profassi today. when we meet. So as this episode is titled, it is called The Bells of St. John.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it going to be a Notre Dame pastiche?
No, it is not. Okay. Honestly, I don't totally know why it's called the Bells of St. John other than the entry, because the religious angle doesn't stick around for very long.
Huh, okay.
But as such, the doctor starts this episode dressed in some Catholic garb.
Mm.
Is he dressed as a priest,
mm-hmm.
a nun, or a monk?
Hmm. No,
because any of those would be fun to see him.
Yeah, I feel like the BBC would get in trouble for dressing him up as a full-on priest.
Well, that's the thing is the BBC. I mean, Britain isn't really Catholic as much as they are the Church of England.
Mm.
So I don't know how that would impact it. Would they get in more trouble for dressing the doctor up like a nun?
Well, that's the thing is I'm trying to figure out like.
Because he's dressed like a girl, but he's not. And of course, we've already seen monks before, so they definitely have the wardrobe.
We have seen monks, and that is a specific iconography, especially since, as far as I know, I think that Catholic monks are an endangered species.
Well, keep in mind, he can travel in time, so he could go back in time and see before they were endangered.
I don't know.
What would be fun for you?
A nun.
You want to see him as a nun?
I would like to see him as a nun.
Want to see him in Sister Act 3?
Yeah. I want to see him as, God, not Mary Tyler, Sally Fields. I want him to be the flying nun.
So is that your guess? Then you're going to guess that he's dressed up as a nun?
I'm going to be very happy if he's dressed up as a nun. If he's not, then I will... See, because the angle that I've been taking on the Cassie Profassi lately is... I don't really know...
Is trying to manifest.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily that I'm the best at getting them correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's more entertaining if I am right. And the answer is buck wild.
And I do think that sometimes I have done that where I've thrown you a question with a real curveball of an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So you're going to go with nun.
I'm going to be really upset if he's not a nun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be even more upset if he is a nun and I didn't choose nun.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. If you guess right and talk your way out of it, you have been much more upset about that than anything else. Well, with that in mind, let's move on to the second part of the Profassi today.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, the doctor gets to whip out his special motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it special is that it has a feature that, you know, our modern day motorbikes don't.
What do you think that feature could be, Cassie? What makes his motorbike so special?
Like a snack holder.
just a trough, like a horse trough.
Not a horse trough.
No, a feed bag. That's what I meant. Like a horse feed bag.
No, like a compartment for you to keep your snacks.
Okay. You think it's got like a special little pocket?
I think
What has the doctor's motorbike got in its pockets?
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm thinking specifically about when we saw the second iteration of Aang's flying thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
His stick.
Yeah, his him stick. And the inventor puts in a snack attachment. He's like, when would this ever be handy? And then literally, like, not 15 minutes later, is like, oh, wow, it's a good thing this is here.
All right, so you're thinking, so it's a nun and a snack holder for you. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
All right.
And these answers might be cut peppered and colored in by the fact that I miss having nuns around more.
And also you're hungry.
And I am a little hungies. That is not, I have a beautiful little bowl of yogurt that's just been calling my name.
Well, let's find out together if the doctor dresses up as a nun and if his motorbike has a little snack pouch as we watch Series 7, Episode 7, The Bells of St. John.
This week's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Spectrum Wife Guy.
Hey, I love my wife.
Yeah, what do you like about her?
I like everything about her. She got face, it's a good face. She got two arms. I like both of them arms.
Okay, that's two things.
She got teeth. You ever seen teeth before?
I haven't, no.
Ah, that's a good thing. You know, even if you had, never seen teeth like my wife's.
I bet I haven't.
Hey, you know what I love?
What do you love?
My wife.
Spectrum Wife Guy. Back to the episode.
Is my wife in the episode?
I'm afraid not.
I'm not gonna listen. I don't care.
And we are back from the Bells of St. John.
Hey, did you know that the police call box was a St. John's ambulance call box? Is that information that's been canon this whole time?
Well, that's the thing, Cassie. The doctor is St. John. St. John Smith.
Hey, look at you.
I wish people could have seen the look in your eyes of just like, I don't have patience for you anymore.
Nope.
If anyone wants to imagine it, just imagine the look of someone's soul giving up on another soul.
It's a mom who realizes her son is just not.
He's not going to college.
This is no longer an oopsies babies. I don't know where that was going.
I don't know where that was going either.
Nope.
So what'd you think of the episode, Cassie?
I thought it was fine.
That was fine. Yeah, I enjoy this.
Considering that this is one that I imagine came back, it is what brought the show back from like a little bit of a break.
Yes.
I was expecting more.
You're expecting like a bigger episode.
This felt like it could have been a two-parter.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like the angle at the very beginning. Or I like, not the angle, I like the insight that we get at the very beginning. That everything that is happening is because of
Wiffy.
Yeah, the Wiffy. You know what they said? It's the damn phones. But it does feel like it's making some kind of a social commentary.
Yeah.
You know how easily accessible people are through the computers in their pockets. Everybody having some form of like personal laptop computer.
Yeah, I also think there's some commentary on like people's tech literacy. Like, there's a whole point in it where Clara gets suckered into joining into uploading the Wi-Fi because she doesn't really understand computers very well. That's why she's like, I can't find the internet. The internet's gone. And then the way she ends up defeating them is by gaining computer skills that they give her. So there's a part of it where she's like, I do think there's a nice subtextual message about learn how to use the computer that you're on all the time, please and thank you.
Or those of us who don't know how to use the computer that we are on all the time, always thank you, could just look to the people that are always on their computer all the time, thank you.
At the very least, just don't join random unsecure Wi-Fi networks.
Alien gibberish Wi-Fi network. If they had made that Wi-Fi name something like Citrix. Like
XXX Shadow Lord 420 XXX Blaze It 60, _ free Wi-Fi
69 the sexy number. I absolutely would believe that people would be like, oh, I'll join that one. Knock knock, who's there? Your Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi who? Your what? Your doctor who? There was going somewhere. If genuinely people see alien gibberish garbage in their Wi-Fi box, You're not clicking that.
Yeah, if you're just
scrolling, see a cool name, oh, I'm clicking that.
Scroll through, you see like Starbucks Wi-Fi, Heimler Family 300, and then you see
Spectrum.
You're not picking that one.
No, I'm going Starbucks first.
I enjoyed this episode. It was described at the time as an urban thriller is what it's called, which there is a part of it where it's like we don't really get those in Doctor Who. Even when they've had like surface street level fillers, they've been in like small podunk towns or like in a building. They haven't really spanned a whole city before.
Mm-mm.
So I really appreciate the show like stretching itself this season,
jumping ahead quite a bit. So I like that. You do get the setup and it's very tangible. It's something that is, you know, this is 2012 or 2013.
This would be 2013. So you had said it came back from a break. It did. The last episode we watched was The Snowman, which was the 2012 Christmas special. This came out in March of 2013.
Okay. Irrespective, we are well into 2013.
Yeah.
I did not have a smartphone at that point because I was a cool kid. I had a phone that had a keyboard that you pushed it up and it slid out, and I had my keyboard. And then I just remembered I did have an iTouch, though, so that way I could still communicate with all my friends that had iPhones. So does that not count as a smartphone? But anyways. So I like the setup. It feels very tangible. It feels very relatable. It's something that I in 2013 could go, oh, yeah, like I could absolutely see this happening, a.k.a. modern thriller. I feel like there could have been more exploration with Clara getting sucked into the network and then getting pulled out, but now having these new tech skills, because that was commonplace knowledge that I feel like I had already had because of Dalek Clara.
Yeah, that she was a hacker.
Yeah. So it wasn't when you had mentioned that she had no computer literacy in the beginning, I had to go, oh, yeah, she did not have any of that.
Yeah, because
then the second part would be more elaboration on who the quote unquote client is, because I feel like that was just kind of sprung on us. And then a surprise, look, a cameo from the Christmas episode you absolutely watched.
Yes. The client who manages this whole network coming out of the shard is the Great Intelligence, continued to be played by Richard E. Grant, as opposed to Sir Ian McKellen.
They probably just recorded that on the day that he was there for the Christmas episode.
Can you scowl for the camera? We're going to light you very blue right now. I think this is, as an introduction to Clara, it's very fun, especially because it's playing with the little information we have of the previous two Claras.
Mm-hmm.
She's both a nanny and she gets these hacking skills. So I like that they have that. I more than anything, though, like the dynamic that she has with the Doctor, that she's just a character that is
like she's flirty, but it seems more, it doesn't seem flirty with like the aim of like being attractive as much as it is just like flustering this clearly awkward man.
What? That's not something that smart, cool, capable women do.
Like, nah. They have a whole moment where like she'll come outside. She's like, why do you have a box? Is it a snogging box? Do you bring up? Oh, is that your booth? Is that your snogging booth? Do you bring a booth? There's such a thing as being too keen. And I do enjoy the like. There's just a, I'm going to make several leaps in logic just for the purposes of making you feel uncomfortable for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to like bully you, but I am. But we're having fun. We're playing in the space.
I'm gaslighting you for my pleasure. You know, for the bit.
Yeah, like I'm not doing anything harmful, but I am maybe psychologically torturing you just a tiny bit.
I'm making you angry, which makes me happy. So if I'm looking out for you, I'm doing a bad job. But if I'm looking out for me and my own happiness,
mm-hmm.
good job, me. I'm mad at the password.
You're mad at the password?
Yeah.
Run, you clever boy, and remember 123.
I hate that. I hate it because I did the same thing to this episode that I do to you sometimes, where I'm trying to do math in my head and I say, don't help me. And I told the episode, don't help me, I'm gonna figure it out. And then the episode gave it to me not 15 seconds later.
You were just trying to remember yourself, RYCAR123.
No, I actually caught on to that pretty quick.
What was it that you were?
I wanted to guess what the anagram was.
Oh.
Anagram.
Initials?
Word?
Abbreviation?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, abbreviation is making street into ST. Like, that's abbreviation.
Yeah, acronym. The acronym is what you're looking for.
Thank you. Yes.
I remember the word acronym by looking up the word scuba, because I know that scuba is an acronym.
What?
Yeah, the term scuba diving.
Since when?
It's been that way the whole time. Scuba is an acronym for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Huh.
Yeah. And now you've all learned something today.
The more you know.
Welcome to our educational podcast.
Yeah, well, sometimes we talk about math. And sometimes we talk about being sad. And this week we're talking about
acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so this episode we get to meet Clara. And I don't know if you caught it, but Clara is the governess of two children. She's a nanny of these two children, one of whom is reading a book called Summer Falls. Did you catch who the author of that book was?
No.
It was one Amelia Williams.
Oh.
Yeah. She's reading a book written by Amy Pond, which is just, that's just a cute little touch, because that's one of the, because if you remember, that she's the one who writes the book that they're reading in The Angels Take Manhattan.
Was she the one writing it, or did she just do the foreword?
So that's sort of a thing that they hint at a lot, is that when Amy goes back in time into New York in the 40s, she becomes an author.
Mm.
And so that was one of the things that she did, was she published the book on Melody Malone.
Okay.
And she also wrote this book, Summer Falls. Before she went back in time, was a travel writer. But I think to keep herself from knowing things that she shouldn't know, she instead just wrote fiction for the rest of her life, including the foreword in Melody Malone. So I just thought that was a cute little detail.
I know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
New coat.
Well, yes. He starts the episode dressed as a monk. So no point there for you. But as he tries to approach Clara after... As he approaches Clara just like at the door of the house, he's dressed as a monk, and Clara just sort of like kicks him out. And so he runs back into the TARDIS going, don't be a monk. Monks aren't cool. And his response into saying monks aren't cool is to pull out the fanciest fucking outfit the Doctor has ever owned. This is the greatest coat.
I hate that he pulled it out of what is effectively TARDIS's suitcase.
Just like a trunk he keeps under the TARDIS console.
I hated that, but oh my god. This coat is stunning.
The whole outfit, fantastic. I like that he keeps the bow tie in its own special little box.
Yep. And the bow tie only, like, I guess it's like an 80% match to the coat.
Yeah, I like
this fucking coat. He soon spins.
Yeah, I love this outfit. This of all Doctor outfits is my favorite Doctor outfit. I mean, and Shooty gets some pretty good looks, but I would say of like iconic looks. Like, if you're going to think about how does this Doctor dress? This being one of Matt Smith's two outfits, like two really distinct outfits. This is my favorite of his, and it's my favorite of any Doctor's. Really, it's just so.
I want it. I want to recreate it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's both like whimsical and practical.
Because it's not, and it could just be because England is foggy and overcast and gray. It didn't look as purple. The sky, whatever the color grading that they put on it, made it appear way cooler than any photos we've seen. So it looked more like a blue-gray than it did a purple.
I think it's also helped by his undershirt being, like, definitively like a blue-gray.
Fair.
But he does. But I really like the pops of it. And definitely in more colorful scenes, you will see it stand out more as purple. Oh,
please.
But it is a beautiful, like, complete look. I love everything from the purple coat to the boots. Like, I just the whole look is great. I hope that if they ever make some kind of... Matt Smith has not come back to play the Doctor since then. Mm-hmm. Some Doctors do get to make recurring cameos.
I can't imagine who.
I mean, we'll watch a few of them. The anniversary specials.
Yeah, I ain't never seen any of that.
Well, the original anniversary specials of the classic series were called The Three Doctors and The Five Doctors. Mm. So you could probably guess who shows up for those. Matt Smith has never gotten a chance to really do a return. And I really hope that whenever he does get to, he will get to return in that outfit, because God, I love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, though, part of what draws him here is that Clara calls him on his phone.
The bells of St. John are ringing.
Yeah.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
And when the Doctor asks how Clara got the number, Clara's only response was that it was given to her by a woman in the shop. Who said it was the best helpline in the universe?
Who do you think gave it to him? Do we find out?
We do find out.
Okay.
Who do you think gave it to her?
Aw, man. River.
It was River?
Yeah.
Okay. A very old Amy Pond.
Well, because I'm thinking...
A 110-year-old Amy Pond working in a shop.
Who could it be? It would be... Who is most important to the Doctor who would have this, like, personal number?
Mm-hmm.
And it's River, Amy, or maybe even What-Her-Face from UNIT. That feels less likely.
Kate Stewart.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will tell you that it is a character you have met. I'm not pulling some kind of spring on you, but I'm not going to tell you who. You'll have to find out as we go on. I think you'll enjoy that reveal. I also enjoy that at one point the Doctor refers to his telephone box as his mobile phone and says it's a surprisingly accurate description.
It is.
As the Doctor is getting dressed, though, Clara is attacked by a spoonhead.
I hate those a lot.
Which bothers you more, seeing them or just the name Spoonhead?
Spoonhead, the name bothers me way more. Hey, what was your Zaki Profaki for this?
Oh, like, what was your favorite moment?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the moment would be the moment the Doctor reveals himself in his full outfit.
The Doctor does a little twirl almost. That was my favorite part. And the line, I don't know the future, I just work there.
That's a great line. I love that line.
Uh-huh.
I do something similar when I'm at work where I say, people. So I work in a pharmacy, but I'm not a pharmacist. I'm a technician. And I've been doing this job for a very long time. And so many times people will ask me if I'm a pharmacist, and I say, no, I just play one on TV.
I wish then you could look up at the CCTVs.
Or alternatively, I just look off to the side and you hear like a studio audience cheering.
Yeah, I do that, but that's because I have some wild psychoses.
You have a brain aneurysm that lets you hear an audience cheering at any given point.
Right now, they just went, ooh.
Most of the time when they look at you, they're going, "Oh."
No, that's what happens when Bailey walks on stage.
I think when Bailey walks on stage, they go buck wild, like when Urkel walked in on Family Matters.
Yeah.
Did I do that? Jeez.
Now you've just given me the idea of Bailey's. Bailey, but what if she did other famous quotes?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
You see this? You're wearing one of my clothes, so I am wearing all of your clothes.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
A horse loose in the hospital.
But the doctor manages to undownload Clara's brain from the spoonhead, which infuriates the people over at the Shard.
Do they call it the Shard just because they're being stinky?
I believe that's the name of the building. Like, that's stinky. The actual, like, the Shard is an actual building in London.
Yeah.
And they have just, that was just what they used because it looks like a big shard of glass that has been stuck in the ground.
I liked them zip zooming around on a little motorbike. I thought that was that, clever. Yeah,
they did have, they do pull out a motorbike. I really like the build up to that moment where the doctor... There's like a really like crazy sequence where there is a plane about to crash into them. And so the doctor just finally grabs Clara and pulls her into the TARDIS. And she's like having this little panic attack, but she also has a cup of tea. So she has to move very quickly through the scene, but also can't move her hand like properly. And then then they land on the plane. The doctor yanks her out again. They roll their way down the center of the plane up to the pilot's cockpit so they can yank the plane back into the sky. The doctor shuts off the Wi-Fi, wakes the pilots up. They go back in the TARDIS, and then the TARDIS lands the next morning where he said a line that I believe made you actually, maybe this is your favorite moment because you had an actual like audible reaction to this.
Hmm.
Where Clara's like, when are you going to explain more of this to me? And he goes, breakfast. She's like, I'm not waiting for breakfast. And he goes, it's a time machine. You never have to wait for breakfast.
Yeah.
The way you lit up at the idea of never having to wait for breakfast.
So I don't know how to tell you this. It's my favorite fucking meal of every day.
It's not necessarily the most important meal of the day, unless you're Cassie, in which case then it's the most important meal of every day.
Yeah. Every day is a little different.
Eggs, bacon, sausage,
pancakes. No bacon. We don't have any bacon. And we don't have any pancakes.
Sometimes we do.
Rarely.
And then the doctor like just lands it in the middle of like right by the Thames. And then decides that the best thing he could do in this moment is to bring out his motorcycle like it's a magic trick for everyone to clap at.
While he's using his fez to collect money and his coin.
You know, his busking fez. And then they drive off on his motorcycle that he apparently used in the 2074 Anti-Grav Olympics. So you are incorrect. There is not a snack pocket on that motorbike. It is the fact. The thing that's special about it is that it flies.
It didn't so much fly as much as it did do a good impression of a gecko.
I do like that you mentioned that you wanted him to be a flying nun, and he was not a nun, but he did technically fly.
Yeah.
And I also another little touch that he did is when Clara is trying to hack in. To the Shard, she's like, I need a username. I need something that says like Clara Oswald for the win. Oswin. And that's where her other name comes from, is just her coming up with a stupid Twitter handle. Oh, and while they're doing that though, the doctor is wandering around this cafe and just everyone in it is being possessed by the internet. Which sounds
by old lady internet.
By old lady, yeah. Because I say if you get possessed by the internet, it's actually probably way worse than what that scene portrays.
Oh my god! If you're possessed by the internet, you're being possessed by some kind of Gen Alpha,
bunch of 12-year-olds,
brain rot. Yeah,
just teabagging you on Fortnite.
Jesus. They get mad because the P physical people can't change skins.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that. Miss Kismet says in this episode that I really, really like. One of them, where they're talking about how they upload all the brains to their network. She refers to it as immortality, but fatal. Mm. I like that quite a bit. There's another one where she says that the client needs healthy, free range human minds.
But also, just speaking of the fact that they upload brains into it, how fucking big is the server in that building? Like,
it takes up the floor underneath them for sure.
Because the human brain is still one of the most efficient, like, storages of information in that we're aware of. You have petabytes of information in your brain.
I don't know what a petabyte is.
You know what a terabyte is?
No.
Okay, so you have megabytes.
Okay.
And you got gigabytes.
Okay.
Above that is terabytes.
Okay.
And above terabytes is petabytes.
Okay.
So you're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of megabytes of data. Gigabytes of data, even. It's just a complex machine. So it's just like there, just to store one brain would require like an entire server, especially in 2013. Clara finally gets uploaded by a spoonhead that is pretending to be the doctor. And I feel like that, I don't know why, but somehow the doctor spoonhead is way more gruesome than the little girl.
I think it's also just because Matt Smith is a grown ass man.
Yeah.
And he's doing a very good job at being like uncanny valley doctor.
Mm-hmm. But and I think it may be because we're used to seeing the back of his head. We see a lot of the back of the doctor's head. Mm-hmm. And so when you see it's different, it's like, it's wrong. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. Whereas that little girl, we've never seen the back of her head. Maybe she is just like a scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Clara gets uploaded via the spoon head and the doctor takes his little motorbike down to the shard, drives it up the building and breaks in through the window. And Miss Kismet is just like, I believe I have a meeting. She says, I believe there's someone here to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she walks in and the doctor's like still wearing his little motorbike helmet sitting at the desk. And he's like, you have to put everyone's brain back because that's the only way you can put Clara's back. And I'm going to motivate you. And the way I'm going to motivate you. And he takes all. He's like, I'm still at the cafe enjoying my coffee. Who I sent for you is. And the doctor reveals that the doctor in that office is the spoonhead doctor. I really enjoyed that twist.
I also enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought that was a very good playing out of the bit.
Mm-hmm.
They finally download all the brains, and then the great intelligence tells her that she will have to just reset all the brains so no one finds out about him. And she goes, you've been whispering in my ear for so long, I don't know who I'll be anymore. And we find out who she is.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, she restored factory settings, and so everyone turned back to who they were before they worked for the company.
She might as well have just been sitting on the floor going,
yeah, she said, where's my mommy and daddy? They said they were coming back. Like, she must have been like five, which makes sense if you remember that was when the Great Intelligence started talking to Richard E. Grant in the Christmas special. Like, he seems to go after children and plumbers.
Pedophile.
Is the great intelligence a pedophile?
Click, not clickbait.
You've heard of P. Diddy. Well, how about G. Itty?
Woo.
Woo. I know, I'm super clever. Thank you. Thank you for your applause that I'm certain everyone is giving me right now.
Hey, everyone, let's not applaud Zach. Wasn't that so funny?
At the end of the episode, the doctor, like, just wants to know about who Clara is. Like, wants to know why she has a book with a leaf in it. Because when he puts her to sleep after she's like been uploaded the first time, he finds a book called 101 Places to Go, and inside is a giant leaf.
There's no leaf in that book. That's just page one. Yeah.
What do you think that might mean, Cassie?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I didn't want you to ask me that because I don't know.
It's okay. You'll find out next episode. It's not a big secret. They do lay a lot of little foundations here that I really like, but they don't need to overdo it, as it were. Yeah, but it is that is page one, and then when the doctor basically asks if she wants to travel with him, her response is, "Come ask me tomorrow."
It might be yes tomorrow.
What a cheeky ass thing to say.
Yep.
Like I'm not gonna call you back after the first date kind of move.
Yep. It is a power move, which I feel like in this particular dynamic, Clara is wearing the pants.
Specifically, she seems to want to wear his pants.
Eh, I feel like that's just kind of how she
is. Which is also what you want to do. You want to wear his pants and his jacket
and his shirt. And his shoes and
his bow tie.
I want to be that tall.
And that skinny.
Yo. If I could be made out of pool noodles, I would.
Like, not quite David Tennant skinny, but Matt Smith skinny would be good.
Yeah.
But overall, no Cassie Perfacci points for you. I, as a big dummy, forgot to write down a Zachy Perfacci.
So none for you.
None for me either. I will have to make sure that I do that next time. I forgot I was doing that because we've had such a busy few days here. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we'll get. I will definitely remember for the next episode that we get to, which actually is one of my favorite episodes of the show.
Mm.
It's one that I revisit a lot. It's almost like, I don't want to say that it's like one of the greatest episodes ever, but it's
could
like
be your comfort.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's very much a comfort food episode of the show, and I'm excited to watch it with you.
All right.
So we will find out about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Doctor. Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Did you not like my duck?
I just didn't have a yes and for it. It's too late to come up with yes ands right now.
Sorry.
You know, I thought recording a late night episode might make one that was sillier or loopier or just different. Instead, I think we just got kind of sleepy because we're adults, which means we have bedtimes. Don't get older, kids. Stay in school. Stay there forever in a desperate attempt to stave off time that comes for us all. But if you choose to be an adult and have a paying job, maybe consider supporting us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. You can also join our Big Daddy Dalek patrons and get a special shout out in the outro of every episode, like Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. Next week, we all get to praise the sun and feed him our most dramatic monologues. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.